Hi, ich bin Sina und das ist Archive Gossip, der Podcast, der mit euch auf Erkundung geht in eines der größten Architekturarchive Deutschlands, dem SAI in Karlsruhe. Ich bin Architekturhistorikerin und Medienwissenschaftlerin und ich liebe Geschichten, die man in Dingen entdecken und anhand von ihnen erzählen kann. Und das bedeutet, ich liebe es, in Archiven zu sein. Und damit bin ich zum Glück nicht allein. In Archive Gossip treffe ich mich mit Mitarbeitenden, Forschenden und ArchivexpertInnen, um tief in die Boxen und Schränke, Rollen und Schubladen, Skizzen, Fotos, Karteikarten und Notizen im SAI einzutauchen. Zusammen wollen wir uns bekannten und vergessenen Geschichten und Gegenständen widmen und darüber hinaus das Archiv als Wissensort und Institution befragen. Diese Folge ist Teil einer besonderen Serie. In diesem Jahr hat das SAI in Kooperation mit der Wüstenrot-Stiftung zum ersten Mal die SAI IAS Residencies ausgeschrieben. Angesiedelt im Forschungszentrum IAS, dem Center for International Architectural Archival Studies im SAI, ermöglichten diese Residencies mehreren WissenschaftlerInnen für 3 bis 4 Wochen vor Ort im Archiv in Bezug auf das Jahresthema Robust Fragilities, Systems of Knowledge in the Archive zu arbeiten. So haben wir im Juni und Juli 2025 4 internationale Forschende zu Gast gehabt. Daniela Fabricius, Nuno Grauchu, Helena Huber-Dudova und Friederike Lausch. Zusammen mit dem Team des SAI, insbesondere unseren ArchivarInnen Martin Kunz, Eva Seemann und Mechthild Ebert, haben sie in den Beständen recherchiert. Manche von ihnen haben ihre Recherche auch in den Archivbeständen des Universitätsarchivs ausgeweitet oder sind auf kleine Feldforschungsreisen rund um Karlsruhe gegangen. Aber dazu kommen wir in den nächsten Folgen. Sie alle waren auch meine Gäste und Gästinnen in Archive Gossip und so freue ich mich sehr, nun 4 Fellow-Folgen präsentieren zu können. In separaten Treffen, meist gegen Ende ihres Fellowships, habe ich nacheinander mit Friederike, Daniela, Nuno und Helena gesprochen, um herauszufinden, was sie in ihrer Recherche ins SAI geführt hat und vor allem, was sie dort gefunden haben. In der 3. Folge spreche ich mit Nuno Grauchu, der sich während seines Fellowships mit dem Archiv von Architektin Mira Wahrhaftig beschäftigt hat. Anders als in den vorigen beiden Folgen sprechen wir doch weniger über konkrete Materialien oder Bauten, sondern über Tendenzen, die Mira Wahrhaftigs Schaffen als Forscherin und Architektin geprägt haben. Wahrhaftig war eine deutsch-israelische Architektin, die sich politisch prominent für Frauenrechte engagierte und diese Ansprüche auch in ihren baulichen und forscherischen Tätigkeiten umsetzte. Ein Beispiel für diese aktivistische, motivierte Arbeit bildet ihre Dissertation mit dem Titel Die Behinderung der Emanzipation der Frau durch die Wohnung und die Möglichkeit zur Überwindung. Und die Umsetzung dieser Konzepte in einem Mehrfamilienhaus in Berlin, das sie im Rahmen der IBA 1987 entwarf. Auch widmet sie sich Zeit ihres Lebens der Erforschung der Arbeit von deutsch-jüdischen ArchitektInnen, eine Recherchearbeit, die in ihrem umfassenden Forschungsarchiv und ihrer Bibliothek, die das SAI übernommen hat, sichtbar wird. Bevor wir in die Folge gehen, noch ein kurzer Hinweis. Nuno und ich sagen, dass Mira Wahrhaftig eine German-Palestinian-Architektin war oder Architekt war. Da gilt es aber zu spezifizieren, dass sie als Jüdin in Haifa geboren wurde, was zu jedem Zeitpunkt noch zum ehemaligen Mandatsgebiet Palästina gehörte. Heute würde man also sagen, sie ist eine deutsch-israelische Architektin. Nur das, um Verwirrung zu vermeiden. Aber damit auch genug, los geht's mit der Folge. Ich wünsche viel Spaß. Welcome, Nuno Grauchu, to Archive Gossip. I'm very glad to have you here. For the podcast we are producing in the archive, about the archive, and basically talking with people who are here, spending time researching estates, specific objects, personalities, which they find here in the archive, or they are curious about if they can find something here in the archive. And maybe we can start by an introduction of yourself, your interests, and why you are here at the moment.
Okay, my name is Nuno Grauchu, as you said. I've been researching on colonialism and built environment for many years. I did my PhD about a former Portuguese colonial city in India. Before that, I studied the British or English former colonial cities in India. And my interest after that was for the remaining European powers that had the colonial presence in India. So after my PhD, I did a successful application for a Marie Curie project that addressed two former Danish colonial, they shouldn't be considered cities, but urban settlements in the west coast of India. One is called Tranquebar, another one is called Serampore. The Marie Curie project was hosted at the Center for Privacy Studies and at the University of Copenhagen and also at the Royal Danish Academy, the School of Architecture in Copenhagen. And so what interested me more was the relationship between privacy and architecture and urbanism. So how do we draw from the world and from the others to be private, and how that is expressed in design broadly or in architecture and urbanism. So what represents a wall, what represents if you exclude yourself, so those matters were important. So my project finished last August. It's already closed by me and by the institutions and by the European Union also. But I'm now writing or trying to finish, I hope to finish it until the end of this year, a monograph at Routledge called The History of Privacy in Architecture and in Urbanism in India and in Denmark. So that is what is currently the task with more weight in my table. Attracted me on the call and what made me try to come here, and I'm very happy and grateful that I was chosen, was the situation or the what is now or for the last years called the decolonization of archives. So histories of people that are excluded in archives, histories of trauma, memory are included in what is architectural history, which has been very biased towards some groups or genders that prevail still today. So so I wanted to understand and to study some figures, and that's what I wrote in my proposal, and I'm glad that I was one of the lucky ones.
The follow-up question is, what exactly were you looking at here at the SIIE?
When I was writing the application, I checked what authors, architects, people, what did you add here? And also with the visit that your colleague Martin Kuntz provided to me and to Frederik Erlaus in the first 2 days, that made me be certain that was the person or that I wanted to dig in was that of Mira Varavtig, which was some of her concerns overlapped what I'm interested. So I was focused on that. And also it was very convenient because I understood that the archive is huge. And I understood, okay, maybe I should focus on one or two situations because I don't want to be lost and in the end. So I decided to focus on her work, her life, what she did as an architect, as a citizen, and the way she behaved as an architectural historian, and how she expressed her thoughts regarding memory and trauma, and the forgotten ones in several situations in architecture in the past.
So, if I understand this framing of interest correctly, you are actually looking at a very specific, also very special, very unusual archive here at SRE of a protagonist who, in a way, had similar interests like you, right? And who had, herself an archival impulse, right?
Yes, maybe to go the other way around, maybe the biggest difference between me and... I'm not comparing myself with Mira, but let's put it this very straight. But maybe the biggest difference would be the time frame, because she was very... She invested in German architects and, during the period of World War II, Jews. And, I have a brother... time frame and a very focused geographical situation, which is Europe and colonial India.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I really like this setup, that you're actually looking at a personality for what she did, rather than looking at specific buildings she realized or being very interested in design. I mean, often people come here with the big estates of people like Egon Eiermann or Frei Otto, and they are interested in specific buildings that they built, and they want to understand how the idea came to be or whatever. So, I mean, I already know how this archive looks like of Mira Wahrhaftig, but maybe you can tell us also, when you come into the room, where these materials are stored. What kind of archive is this? What do you encounter when you go there?
Well, the room is amazing, because you enter there, you close the door, you almost feel the presence of... Because everything is it's very tight, it's very enclosed, so you get her personal library. For instance, the first time when I was with Martin and Frederica, that Martin was showing us the room, I was checking the books, and she died in 2008. So some of the books, probably you have some. I know that I have some, because I saw, I have this book, not many, one or two, I think. There was one called Functional Architecture, a really large one, a chunk book. So we see her personal library, and we see many boxes that I saw afterwards when I started digging inside the archive. Many boxes with correspondence, with personal objects, with toys, with small models that she used for that housing project, lots of newspapers, and in every box, or it was not in every box, but in most of the boxes, we noticed that it became an obsession for her, obsession in a good sense. When I use this word, is the weight of the word is complicated, but a good obsession for her. Regarding the German and the Jews architects that migrated to Palestine and afterwards to Israel, what they did, why weren't they known? Why there was no connection or communication between Germany and those architects, etc. So I found that room fascinating for all those reasons, starting on on personal matter that I found some books to until Mira's own thoughts that I think are really, really relevant.
Yes, very, now looking back, very outstanding personality.
Women in architecture, this subject that is very present today in research. If we frame a European group of people, I think Mira is one of the interesting ones.
And I think it took until last year that her building for the IBA in Berlin, like with the specific layouts we touched upon like very briefly before, what she called emancipatory living, was put under heritage. So we are in a kind of Mira-Wahrhaftig Renaissance, one could say, finally recognizing, yeah, the groundbreaking work that she did in so many different aspects.
And even theoretically, because to call it emancipatory, you have to think about it when you draw, and you have to write about it, about what you drew and what you think. Not just in a way of, okay, the building was built, the building has its own place in innovation and as a groundbreaking building in regarding that focus in emancipation of women, etc. But also what she wrote. So. Yes, and their work, it's very present.
Yes. Did you look closer into the floor plans? Was this something that was interesting to you and your research?
Yes, I took a look at the floor plans and also to a publication that KIT already did, but also the open access is available, which is very important because to get it for everyone to get information. It's a pity that it is in German, but with the tools to translation, it was really easy to work with and to understand what was done. But anyway, I think. I think it's a first step, and I think it's a very and something else has to happen. More, I don't know, monographies or more important, more in-depth studies about her work should be made in English to open to the world. That small. Book very interesting and very, very well done. Very well done. And some of the plans were there.
And speaking of which, further research, new looks on Mira Wahrhaftig and her work. Do you have ideas already if you would like to pursue specific research question based on this archive, on the different threads you picked up on?
Well, now I'm inside a melting pot, so I still don't know. I would love to write at least an article, which I think it's viable depending on what I have to do and what information I collect. Maybe I can give a different look. I think it would be a lovely way to come back to her in the near future. I'm not saying that I would finish my relationship with her, but to come back to her and maybe I come back to for other situations.
Maybe you can explain to me a bit more what these, let's say, interventions of decolonialization in archival works looks like here.
So I think, as I said before, the relevance of women in architecture is very important, and also the situation that of that she produced her book about the list of German Jew architects that were totally erased from German architectural history. And the way she never gave up dealing with that, because she was always writing to this one, that one, doing exhibitions, raising money. She was almost, it was almost her against the world, because she was very dynamic and she never gave up in what were concerns and expectations regarding those unheard voices that that we can find in the archives and in architectural history, because architectural history is not just most famous names, most famous design changes, movements, etc. It's very focused on modernism, modernists, and architecture is much more than that. Especially if you see it as an art with very strong social concerns.
I have two questions, very different questions. I was struck by your mention that she also did exhibitions. Have you found out more about that specifically, or was this more something that you picked up?
It was correspondence. She was she asked for money for. Okay, I want to do this. No, I don't. I'm going to speculate. I want to do this in Berlin. Maybe you could contribute. Blah 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 blah, etc. She was writing.
She was trying to put her research as an exhibition. Yes, yes. Well, that's very exciting. So she really had a will to make it public, not only in the form of a book. Yes.
She wrote, okay, I already collected these architects that moved to Palestine, this one and this one and this one. Only three or four names, Kaufmann, Mendelssohn, etc., are known of the general public, but I want to raise the list of everyone because I think it's important. She wrote, for example, there's a very interesting article where she compared them, where she studied the modernism in Tel Aviv, which is a very, or it was a city with a very strong presence of modernists migrating from Germany. There's a very interesting comparison between Berlin and Tel Aviv. But okay, I'm going to another place. So about the exhibitions, yes, she tried to expand all the ways she could to make her work public and to again raise the people that were that were forgotten a few decades before. But okay, there are more boxes than time that I always have. So always yes. So what I saw, it is very relevant. It was a surprise. As always, again, many boxes and many surprising boxes, as always.
What was the biggest surprise?
I think the fact that she was the only one for decades that cared about German Jew architect. So for us architects, what's more important, or for us citizens, what is more important in architecture when we think, okay, that building, that place, it's more the work than the people. And I think her interest in what was made by these people, how this was influenced the beginning or the construction of a new country, And now this diaspora played a relevant role for the art or discipline was the most important thing to me, because it was something that all of us in Europe, outside Germany, we are not aware of this. We never think of this, but it makes sense. Of course, there were German Jews, architects, as any other profession that were imprisoned, that were in ghettos, that were so also architects, and we never think we just think of them for some. A few exceptional architects that everyone knows, but we don't see this group as socially relevant and important for architecture, because we don't know about them.
Have you come in contact through her sources, through her correspondence, with maybe similar people? No. With people who had similar interests like her? Did she had like any partner in crime in terms of these interests?
So the answer is yes and no. The yes is she found an association of people interested in this matter, and she started writing to people, do you want to join? Do you want to join? So this is the yes part. The no part, I think it was all her, because in the end, people, I didn't see much participation. I understood that there were some meetings, but a lot of people, it's not that they were not interested, they didn't participate, so there was no architects or members from the civil society that joined there. Regarding her research. There were also some foreigners there that wrote to her, not architects, and people that visited her, but I think it was mainly done by her alone. I don't see that, okay, I did this work, do you want to join the team? I don't think there was a team. Maybe some people prefer to work by themselves. I think there were some relevant institutions, let's call associations, but in the end it was all her, at least from what I've read.
How much personality, how much personal things are found in such a very strictly professional archive, an archive collecting her work? Her professional activities, her many professional activities. Did you came across any sources that maybe irritated you because they spoke, let's say, more explicitly about her personal life or, let's say, her as a person?
No.
Okay.
No, but I think it could be a lack of me not speaking German.
I don't know. I feel like we're like slowly coming to a close, exploring. Okay. Yeah. Or you feel so too?
Yes. I don't know. I am. if you have more questions, or if I.
No, I enjoyed like just following the interview or our talk the way it went and how we like started with like this archive and all her professional endeavors into like more and more. Actually getting to know her a little tiny bit as a private person.
I think I was telling you it was a more personal and outside archive after being in the archive. I think it was a fine journey. It was really, really interesting.
So you're inspired?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. By her, by what I found, yes. I hope I can... at least I wanted at least to produce an article.
Well, I guess we're very much looking forward to that article.
Yes, and I think yesterday I saw, maybe we can close. Yesterday I saw the presentations of my colleagues, my fellow colleagues. And for example, I think all of us have material for an article. As I said, it's 10, 15 pages. 10 pages well-written and relevant. Everyone has material for that. And I found very, very interesting what Frederica found and the connection between India and the shower. I know those places where she went. I was in Ahmedabad. I was in the School of Architecture of Ahmedabad. I know she referred that there was a professor called Rabindra Vazavada. I've worked with him, and I found very interesting, especially what came from India and the tissues. And so she has. I was always, when she found something, I always asked, if you find something, let me know. And she showed me. So I saw live those objects. And I think it was very interesting, really relevant. And new thing, what we are used to. So, I think everyone has a possibility to write something.
Okay. Yes, I think like talking to all of you, listening to your research presentation, maybe talking here and there beside the official events, it has been really inspiring. I'm so happy that this fellowship turned out so successful for you personally as researchers, for us all sharing these stories and these objects that you found that, as for us working every day here in like a very like different scale, just organizing the archive, trying to accommodate everybody, trying to accommodate our own research. It's such a pleasure to feel the archive through these different researchers. It's really, really nice. I think this is what we all live for, also as historians of architecture. And I just wanted to mirror that. It has been the same for us.